Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 35, and it is a blessed chapter about the restoration of Israel through the Messiah coming, and it lines up very well with Jesus coming again at the time of the millennium. And I actually want to begin, before we take in Isaiah 35, I want to begin in Revelation chapter 19, which speaks of this same thing. If you just listen to Isaiah chapter 34, you heard about judgment. And when Jesus comes during the tribulation, first of all, the 7 years, and then at the end of the 7 years, there's going to be judgment, but then it's going to switch when the Messiah comes, Jesus comes to rule and reign, and then there's going to be blessing for all those who have and do believe in him. And that's what's happening here in Revelation chapter 19. Take it in with me. After these things, I heard something like the loud voice of a great crowd in heaven. By the way, there's already a great crowd in heaven. I believe that that's people who have gone before, and that's the raptured church saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot." That's basically the world Babylon system of worldliness and a world apart from God. "He has judged the great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her sexual immorality. And he has avenged the blood of his slaves shed by her hand." And a second time they said, "Hallelujah," which means praise the Lord. "Her smoke rises up forever and ever," because finally that the wicked world is being judged. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne." And this is a heavenly scene. And again, I believe these people worshiping represent the church, people who have believed in Jesus, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came from heaven, from the throne, saying, "Give praise to our God, all you slaves, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great crowd, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. And let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." You know how she made herself ready? She went ahead at the time of the rapture, and she's been preparing for this great feast. "And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen." Again, that's the church who believed in Jesus, "bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" And if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be invited to this marriage supper. "And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" These are the true words of God. Hallelujah. "Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow slave with you and your brothers who have the witness of Jesus. Worship God, for the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" All right, but he still has not come back to officially defeat his enemies. And that's what happens next. "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sits on it is called Faithful and True. This is Jesus, and in righteousness he judges and wages war." This is when he comes back to do his final judgment. "His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, having a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. And being clothed with a garment dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God." Remember, Jesus in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. This is Jesus. "And the armies which are in heaven," that's us again, "clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses." What a glorious scene, hey? "And from his mouth comes a sharp sword so that he may strike down the nations." Here's the judgment of the nations, as we've been reading about in Isaiah. "And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the wrath of the rage of God." They're going to receive the wrath of God because they have not accepted Jesus. "He has on his garment and on his thigh a name written, 'King of Kings, Lord of Lords.'" That's Jesus. "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Come,'" saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, "'Come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of strong men and the flesh of horses and those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves and small and great.'" So this is the final battle of the people who are left on earth who have rejected Jesus. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war with him," Jesus, "who sits on the throne, and with his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who did the signs in his presence." These are people that came on the scene during the tribulation. by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And we won't be there, but whoever is there should know better not to worship the beast or take his mark. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him, Jesus, who sits on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now, that's the final judgment when Jesus comes. But then listen to this. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, because the devil is still messing with people today. But he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, and he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were finished. After these things, he must be released for a short time. There's going to be one more battle at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Then I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. That's the church. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded. This is people who, it's by the way, there's an and there. Verse 4, it says, then I saw the thrones and they had sat on them, and the church has been told that they're going to sit on thrones all along. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded. That's people who have come to faith in Jesus during the tribulation, and some were killed for their faith because of their witness of Jesus and because of the word of God, and also who had not worshipped the beast or his image, showing that they were clearly there and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's the 1,000 years where the church and all who have embraced Jesus at this point, even if it's someone, a Jew, or someone who embraced Jesus during the tribulation, all are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Satan's going to be defeated. The enemies of God have been defeated, and there's going to be a great millennial reign, and only at the end of that millennium will Satan be loosed ultimately, just to get thrown into the lake of fire. And that's where everyone also who's going to be waiting in a temporary hell will be thrown into the final hell, the lake of fire, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So we read in Isaiah 34 about what it looks like not only in Isaiah's day to have Assyria and Babylon come in, but also the judgment that was coming upon people for not embracing God. But in chapter 35, it switches and it talks about the messianic blessing. Let's take it in now. It's only 10 verses. The wilderness and the desert will be delighted, and the Araba will rejoice and flourish like the crocus. It will flourish profusely. See, there's going to be flourishing profusely in the time of the millennium. And rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of Yahweh, because Jesus is going to be living in our midst, the majesty of our God. Strengthen limp hands and give courage to the knees of stumbling. So even though sometimes we may go through hard times on earth, like, strengthen your hands and give courage to your knees, because we have this to look forward to. Say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. And that's what we just read about, Jesus coming with vengeance, the final battle, and then the millennium. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Hallelujah. All those who embrace the Messiah will be saved. And we saw a measure of what we're going to read about here when Jesus came the first time, but the fullness of it will be when he comes again. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and we saw Jesus do that, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. We saw him do that. Then the lame will leap like a deer. You might remember the person being brought in on a stretcher who Jesus said, get up and walk, take your mat and walk. And the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness. And that's talked about, you know, if we kept reading in Revelation, how God's going to have a stream coming from Jerusalem, and it's going to be amazing. And streams in the Araba. Then the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the millennial blessing, and also, you know, the eternal blessing. The new heaven and the new earth one day is also going to be great. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes, and a roadway will be there, a highway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. Now, The reason that we can be on that highway of holiness is because at this point, everyone will be holy in the sense that they'll have embraced Jesus and been perfectly forgiven and been given his righteousness, given right standing with Jesus because of what he's done for us on the cross. The unclean will not pass by on it. They will have been destroyed. But it will be for him who walks in that way, and ignorant fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. And this, as you probably know, this is talked about at the end of the book of Revelation as well. We didn't quite get to it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. Who are the redeemed? The ones that Jesus ransomed. The ones that Jesus redeemed by his blood, by his life, because he went on that cross to forgive us. And the ransomed of Yahweh will return. And remember, it says in the book of Matthew that Jesus ransomed us. God had to pay a price and to forgive us. The means of atonement all throughout the Old Testament were sacrifice. And what God did is instead of sacrificing a lamb, he said, I'm going to sacrifice my one and only begotten son, Jesus, the sinless lamb, the perfect lamb, who's going to take all of the sin of mankind upon himself. But you have to believe in him. You got to believe that he died for you. You got to believe that he rose again. And then God paid the price to redeem and ransom you. He paid the price for your sin through his son. Hallelujah. And the ransomed of Yahweh will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting gladness upon their heads. They will attain delight and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And now we end a section in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. But praise God, this is what we have to look forward to. We, as believers in Jesus, have a lot to look forward to. And the destruction that we're reading about, I don't believe is for us. You can read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15, John chapter 14. He has gone ahead and prepared a mansion for us, and he will come back to take us. We know the way where he's going. He went to heaven, and he's going to come back to take us with him where he's going, and that's the Father's house. Well, when Jesus comes back to earth, he's coming back to earth, but the rapture is him coming back to take us to heaven, so we don't have to experience the tribulation, and we don't have to experience Isaiah 34, but we will come back with him to experience chapter 35, the blessing of the millennium. There's a lot to look forward to, and you know what? Listen, like we began in chapter 34, draw near, O nations, to hear. Pay attention, O peoples, let the earth hear as well as its fullness, the world and all that springs from it. And you know what? I hope you've heard the good news about Jesus. I hope you've heard the gospel. If you want to receive the good news, if you want to receive eternal life, you got to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that he died for you, that he rose from the dead. And when you truly believe in him, you'll become born again. His Spirit will come and live inside of you, and he will inspire you to live a new life that's no longer just living for yourself, but for the one who died for you. And our lives should reflect that. Listen, we should not be a secret agent Christian. It should be very evident to everyone around us that we're a follower of Jesus. And because God, you can't put Jesus inside of you and be the same. When you trust in Jesus and he comes and lives inside of you by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're going to be different. You're not going to be sinless, but you're going to sin a lot less, and you're going to reflect his light. So give your life to Jesus, live for him, and one day you'll be with him forever. God bless you all.